All right, real quick, people, before we get into today's show, we've just released a new course, Periodization for Periods, all around how to train women around their monthly cycle, and we've got it on special. If you're interested, click the link in the show notes.
You are now listening to the Fitness Education Online Podcast, the podcast where fitness professionals go to grow their fitness business. If you're in the fitness industry, you'll find tips and strategies from proven business experts. Now, let's start the show.
Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to the Fitness Education Online Podcast. I am super excited because we've got a very special guest this week, also from Sydney. A little bit about this person. He's one of the owners there at Fitness Business Sales. If you're not familiar with Fitness Business Sales, they're industry leaders taking you from your startup and franchise expansion to exiting on your terms. So let me introduce the one and only Mr. Damien Bain. Damien, how are you?
Good. Good morning. How are you?
Yes, I'm awesome. Now, I know you guys do quite a lot there at Fitness Business Sales, Damien. Do you want to give the listeners a bit of a rundown? I know you've got sort of three different components that you do there. Someone's listening to this. They haven't heard of Fitness Business Sales. Give us the rundown. What is it you guys do there?
I think we've only just worked out what we do now. It's been in the making, that's for sure. So we established Fitness Business Sales last year, and you know, pretty much as the name says, you know, it's a combination of, well, literally fitness businesses, and we've got our startups. So we do startups. So you could be a single trainer or investor wanting to start your new health club venture or functional studio. We will help bring that alive from a, you know, brand awareness and execution and all that side of things operationally, to open DAs, etc. In the startup pillar also, we have, you might have two or three current studios and the concept you want to franchise. So you want to take it to that next level and branch out into franchising. So we will pull the brand apart, look what we need to do, and then bring that alive from a franchise agreements, disclosure, operations manuals, brand guide, all the stuff you need to go to market. We'll take it to market. And then it would fall into, if you're looking at that, the franchise recruitment arm. And the franchise recruitment arm is quite a big area that we work on, in our business. And that's because what we brought alive is in a lot of the brands that are out there right now, and there are a lot, especially after COVID last year, there's a lot coming alive, is, you know, the brands are recruiting for new franchise partners. And what we did, instead of people having to have their full-time employed salesperson and recruitment person in-house, we do that for specific brands. So, for example, we've got brands like Infinite Cycle, FitStop, Fitness Cartel, Fire, etc. We've got these brands that are growing across the board. And what we do is we search for franchise partners for them. And it's a lengthy process, that one. You know, that is very much a 6-7-stage process to bring them through the recruitment and approval process to finding sites and bring them alive. So we work with about 7 or 8 specific exclusive brands in that area. And then the final thing is the exits. So exit strategy, it's interesting. People will say, when I'm looking to sell, it's when I look to do my exit. Well, no, you should look at your exit strategy from day one. As soon as you start your business, what you should plan and build towards that. So we actually more work with people on that are looking to sell as opposed to I want a list and we're a broker. So a lot different to what brokers do. Brokers will take on listings, where we actually deep dive into the business operationally and we do an assessment of the business. And what we look at is where we can tweak certain things to improve your profitability, to improve your business asset, and work with you on an exit plan and then exit. And we do have the brokerage services. My business partner is a broker. But, you know, we're not just in the listings now. That's probably 20 to 30% of what we do, where the bulk of our stuff is through the franchise. So Fitness Business Sales, as it says, and plus we do consulting as well, just general consulting. But as it sort of says, and the name was quite simple, but it's a turnkey. You know, whether you are a startup, you're looking to get into a new franchise, or, hey, I'm looking to exit in 6 months or so when I want to build my business to get that return, you know, they can sit right under the banner of what we do across our team.
Love it. Yes.
In a nutshell.
There we go. Well, I'm a huge fan of the exit strategy. I think that's why I originally reached out, because I just think it's so important for many different reasons. I think that even if you're not looking to sell, I think that's the sign of a good business. if you could sell 100%. It, you know, in a couple, even if it's not even going in your mind, you know, you love what you do, mm-hmm. not even thinking if that business is in a position where you can sell it, it's running smoothly. That's the sign of a good business. It probably works without you.
Correct.
You're probably in there all the time anyway, but you know, if you've got in a position where it runs without you there, it's a sign of a good business.
Yes.
And on top of that as well, things can change at a heartbeat. Like, yeah, all right, yes. you're happy now. You know, maybe in a year or two, think your life changes, things change. And instead of scrambling mm-hmm. and being like, oh no, now I need to scramble all these things there. If you just did some things right from the start, it'd be in a better position to sell. So I love that. And Damien, tell us a little bit about you personally. Did you just wake up last year and decide you love the fitness industry and want to do this? Or, you know, have you got some miles under the belt? What can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, look, I've been in the industry and I'm now going to show my age about 22 years.
So you started when you were five. Yeah, five.
Even better. Exactly. 12 or five, around that piece is good for me. Yeah, look, what happened? I've been working in the industry for quite a while. I started off, back in the day in the fitness side of it, Group X and PT, funnily enough. And then I totally changed. I went into the business side and I worked with some small players in Melbourne. I'm from Melbourne originally, been in Sydney for just over 10 years, but worked with some small players and sort of gyms that needed to be turned around. They weren't profitable or things like that. And I loved that. I love fixing. That was my thing, to get in, pull it apart, increase revenue and decrease costs. And, then I started working with some of the big players. So I worked with Fitness First, worked with Genesis for 4 years in their brand. And Fitness First actually moved me to Sydney. So I was looking after their new site acquisitions, opening all the new sites. And then we went through it was a tough time at Fitness First in those days because mm-hmm. it was, we got close to liquidation, we got close to, not being around and we're closing clubs and it was tough. And it was, so luckily I managed to get the gig in a state manager role for Fitness First. So I continued with them and we went through the rebrand and the whole change, and that was really good because it taught me a lot from how we had to, decrease costs, increase revenue, but the people scorecard and what we had to do with the people piece was really important, changing our job descriptions, changing our persona of our staff and what we were looking for, and it was really good, and we took Fitness First back up and improved it, and then it went to market and sold, and probably that was a tough time because the global company went into they separated. So there was nothing to do with the UK anymore. There was nothing to do with Germany. And it became a standalone under another banner with another group of clubs. So great times there and it was good. And I sort of left and, dabbled in a few other things as after, 10 years in something, you can't find your feet again. And it was probably more COVID that made me think of this. And I've been thinking of consulting for years and people have been saying that, but it's a buzzword, I'll just go and consult. I'll go and consult. I wanted to bring something that was, alive and probably a gap in the market. And to be honest, COVID did wake me up. I think it was, people couldn't afford to bring like a COO back into a business because it was too expensive or, a franchise recruitment. And originally I started, I wanted to look at fractional roles. So what we did is we offered to service the COO role, for example, as an acting role, but less payment for the company because they couldn't afford it. And then that was how I sort of my first idea and then the recruitment came up. And then, I think it was, must be about August last year. And I was actually offered another job in a role within the business, in the industry as a COO again. And I'm like, you know what, Damien, just do it, stop, procrastinating, take the risk. You can only try once. And then my business partner, Paul, had been in the industry with me years ago and he was doing exit strategy and planning for restaurants and hospitality and cafes and selling all those. And we actually had a beer at a palmy, yes, you do, at Bossman, and we sat there and just went, there's a market in the industry for the fitness for the exit and that recruitment. Mm-hmm. And in probably a week later, I'm signing a shareholders agreement and I was getting nervous, but off we went. And it was great. And I think, the most exciting, goosebumps sounds really cheesy, but it's what was exciting is, a lot of when we started the business, when you're in a startup, you have ideas that do alter. And we started to, bring the business alive in stages, but we never had to advertise. I mean, up until really now, we're not really advertising much. And luckily I could reach out to a lot of the network that I was working with over 20 years and then bring this alive. And the good thing that, as I said, that we've found is it's been a lot of passive business, but It's growing. We've got a team of five now. You know, it was just the two of us, and now we're a team of five, which is exciting. And it's only been 8-9 months. So it could have gone this way. Luckily, we're going in the right directory, but except for this COVID shutdown again for the last 2 weeks, yeah, puts a bit of a dampener in things. But yeah, it's been an idea for a while, and I think I've been egged on for so long to do it. And then, you know, I'm in sales. I should have taken the risk a long time ago myself, but I was too nervous. You know, when you got a wage coming in to, I'm now paying payroll. So it's, yeah, so that's how it happens. But then it's just, it developed, and FBS has sort of become, you know, quite solid. And, you know, we were at capacity not long ago where we had to bring on someone else to service what we had, which was good. So that's how it came alive.
Yes, well, I'm glad it did, because I know there's a big gap in the market there, because I see it from both ends. I have trainers contact me, hey, Jono, have you heard of this new franchise? You know, what do you think of it? Should I do it? And I'm like, man, I got no idea. I wish there was someone I could send you to. Now I know there is, you know, on the flip side.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, on the flip side, there's people that are like, oh, Jono, I want to sell my boot camp. You know, is it sellable? What should I sell it for? You know, who would buy it? And I'm like, not really my forte, but, you know, now I know where I can send you. So glad you've done that. But what I'd like to talk about mainly today, Damien, is that franchise side of things. They're popping up all over the place. You know, next week there's a podcast launching with a gentleman who started a new franchise, Strong Pilates. He used to be an F45 guy. You know, the week after that, I've got one launching with a company called Core Fitness, who are, you know, also looking for, and both of them have both said to me, hey, Jono, what I'm looking for is, you know, franchisees, you know, whether it's investors or trainers, you know, I want to open them up more. I need trainers. So they're popping up everywhere. I'm going to hand it over to you from here, Damien. If you can let us know in the next 15, 20 minutes, say there's a train, go from the trainer side of things, not so much an investor. Someone's already a trainer and they're looking at, you know, working for one of these franchises or being a franchisee. What's the first thing they need to look at, I guess?
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we're the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Look, the first thing is, you know, is that franchise or and who you're really getting to partnership with. It's so important. There's a lot of franchise ors out there that have, you know, without being disrespectful to anyone, have come to the market because they've been a trainer for so long and they're like, my training's the best, my kettlebell swing's the best, I'm going to bring that into a franchise. And then they just go get a name and they bring this alive. But then what happens is people do join and the franchise partners are not getting the support and they're not getting what is really needed because they're paying a fee. So the most important number one, if I talk you through all of it, number one is, do you believe in the product? Yeah. Mm. Is the product right? Is this product scalable? Is this product long-term or is it a fad? Mm. You know, sometimes the fads, you know, we've seen back in the 90s, the Tybo and the things like that that were around. Is it a fad or is it something that can still be, grown from a initiative programs and things like that, then you're bringing new initiatives and new different types of exercises. What is the background of the franchisor? And what is the support structure is next. So what support do you get? Well, who is in their executive team? Who is on the board of support? Because what happens in, and I mentioned this a minute ago, people go into a franchise and they get excited and they get sold blue sky. They get into it, and I've seen it in quite a few brands and quite a few franchise partners that go into a franchise, they pay all this money, they're excited, they've sold the dream, and then it doesn't happen because one, the franchise group don't have the experience in their team. You know, when people are buying in like a trainer or investor, it doesn't matter, that you're buying into a franchise for a reason. And the reason is generally, I'm buying into a network, I'm buying into a business model that's proven, and I'm buying into experience to lean on because as a trainer, for example, I'm not great with the numbers. I'm not great with commercial and the retention and the CRMs and the digital experience and all this stuff that goes with it. That's why I'm going into a franchise. Mm. And you know, you need to do your background work. And a lot of the people that we speak to, and you know, we work with about 7 or 8 national brands that we've picked to work with. We don't just take people on for the sake of it, because again, we have to believe in the franchise and we have to believe in the product, because you know, they're our client, but the person we're bringing on, it's a change in lifestyle. This is a business you're buying. You know, this is a 5-year plus, you know, investment. It's not a, you're buying a car to drive around and you feel good. You know, it's totally different. So, you know, when you're looking at it, and the key things, as I said, look at the franchise group. What's their expansion? What's their drop off? Have they had any close? What is their experience in their team? Yeah. What does their digital programming and their CRM and their customer journey and all those things, those offerings, what are they doing for that? Because you're paying a fee, and generally you'll pay a fixed fee or you'll pay a percent of royalties. And if you're not getting that support, and I've seen this in a lot of brands, especially on ground support, you know, having that, you know, that regional manager or that marketing, when I say on ground, it doesn't have to be literally in the studio, but you know, having that go-to in the specialist areas. So go-to in the marketing, go-to in the fitness product. You know, where's their innovation? Where's their business plan? Where's the big side of things? Because at the moment, there are a lot of copycats, I call them. Everyone's copying everyone. And if I look at even Fitness First back when it came to the market, and that is now showing my true age, but Fitness First came in these big box, beautiful clubs. You know, great offerings. It was Schmick. Everyone loved it. And then everyone started copying them in the big box. F45 brought this, you know, basic F45, sorry, now functional training. And then other people looked and adapted. And right now, there's a lot of franchises in that functional training area, yeah? And there's a lot of specialists. But there's you need to pick, if you're going into those markets, and I recommend, especially coming from a trainer or an investor, if you're going into boutiques, pick a specialist. Or if you're going to a big box, you know, pick the right one that's on the journey as well for long term. But in the specialist...
Daniel, when you say specialist, what do you mean by that?
So like a Pilates or a cycle, gotcha. Or a core program, like that, it's, you go to the GP and he gives you his advice. It's the same as going to a gym. Yeah, that's the GP service where you want to really get into the Pilates, like a KX or a Strong Plate, those ones, then they're specialists. Same with the cycle.
Does functional training count as specialist or no?
Yeah, look, they do, depending on their program. Now, okay. If you look at it, because big boxes do offer freestyle group training, small group training, a HIIT class. Yeah. But they're very basic. Yeah, they're on a timetable. People come along, they're in the middle of the gym floor. So when you go into the functional training, you know, what is the product? What is the program? And what is the difference? You know, if I look at, we
just
work
doing
with
a gym class, you know, if you're going to buy into this,
exactly.
45, you know, there's Crunch Fitness down the road from me where there's a class 6 a.m. called boot camp, which is $10 a week or whatever it is.
Yes. You know, yep.
Why am I doing yours?
100%. And that's the thing. And that's the same. And they become more like, it's very much about the community, the personal service, the one-on-one attention. That's the difference in these markets. And, you know, if I look at it, like we work with FitStop, for example, yep. You know, and they've got the Fit, Fast and Functional classes, very personalized, very community focused, very one-on-one. You know, there's the coach, you're doing it via reps. It's all about you, you know, as opposed to others that you might be just in a group class in the gyms, like you mentioned, just in a group class running around. There's no real feel. It's like going to a physio because you've got to fix something as opposed to the doctor. And so, you know, the functionals, yes, depending on their products. There are a lot out there that just do circuit training and it's pretty basic stuff and they label it with a franchise. But again, going back to that, the product can be great and the product can be, you might love the product and that, but it's about the people. You know, number one in this industry is people. As you know, people go to classes because of the instructor, because they love that person's instructor, you know, that teacher. And, you know, having the right people in your business, the right manager, the right instructors is crucial, and the right relationship with your franchisor is where it comes back to. You know, we refer to them as franchise partners. Like the franchisee that's coming in, you don't work for the franchisor, you know. You're a partner of the franchisor, and the franchisor is offering you a service to grow. And that's what's really important. Where some of the franchisors that are out there, they can be, whether it's dictational or managing the franchisee, that's not the right way. And a trainer that's investing or an investor that's investing, no matter what, this is your business, you're part of a group, and you want to make sure you feel part of the group. And as I mentioned, the ones we work with, it's very community-focused. Even Infinite Cycle, we opened last week in Armidale in Melbourne, and the franchisor was down there doing the bikes and fixing them, getting the bikes together and crank. Like, that stuff is what you want, because you're getting, as I said, that more personal one-on-one true partnership with it. Costing is obviously one big thing. You know, if you're looking at costs, you know, a boutique sort of studio, you know, you don't want to be paying, you know, over 300 plus thousand for a startup, you know, because, and look at your break evens. If you look at a boutique, you know, that sort of 200 square meters, if you're spending 200-300, you know, your break even membership wants to be around the 140, you know, and that's a good sign, 150, depending on your rent. Some of the boutiques that are starting to charge 450, 500,000, that's more in any times or a 24/7.
Is this per year, lifetime? What do we talk with these numbers?
Yeah, those numbers are more startups. So to pay for your fit outs, your equipment, your build costs, all those things, your franchise fee.
Gotcha.
You know, and when we look at it, you know, that sort of price around, and then the break even of 140 is good, because you can generally, in a pre-sale, build that before you open, get your member base up to that similar number. So you're operationally cash flow from day one. You know, there's too many people that have spent so much up front and their payback is 2-3 years. And, you know, that's tough. Same in a big box. And I mean, a big box franchise, you might spend 2 million, but it's a lot different because you're getting 2,000 members, you know, and your break even might be, you know, month 3 or 4. But again, it comes down to that, what support you get from the big box to get those numbers. To get yourself cash flow positive, obviously the returns are higher, you're making more money, but the risk is higher in there. So it's balancing act. And that's why when it comes back to the people we talk to for franchising, what's your needs and what's your exit again? What's your big plan? You know, some people are looking, why don't you buy a couple of, you know, boutiques and you build them and then you flip them and you take them to exit and build the processes, get and look at that again, coming back to exit plan, which is stuff that we do. I want to build something and I want to sell it for $1 million in 3 years. Well, how do we do that? And what is the plan? All right, buy 2 or 3 boutiques or buy a big box in there. So then, you know, the financials are important. Do your research, you know, with the current franchisees that are there, you know, and understand who's, you know, look at the books. You know, a lot of blue skies can be told, you know what, you're going to get to 400 members in this side and you're going to make this amount of money. Has that ever happened? And that's something we'll go, sorry, no, you know, 200, 250, 300 is good, and you'll make X, and that's a good investment. So don't be, and without putting it out there to franchisors out there, don't be sold a dream of blue sky. And I've seen it too much, and unfortunately, you know, the franchise partner is the one that misses out here, and the one that's left with the business not working, throwing cash at them. And I don't like seeing that. It's not good for our industry either, when this is happening. So it's vital that you really do the research on the franchise or group, and don't be sold the dream. Don't be sold a blue sky. Don't be sold, you know, all the stuff that everyone can do and has done. You know, and pick, you know, look at, you know, we've been very particular about who we take on the franchise and that, the people we take on. And even with the brand we're bringing across from Malaysia, you know, that was quite important that we believe in it. And the first question my business partner always says to me when I'm bringing some new client or brand on is, would you buy it? I'm like, well, it's not about me. He's like, no, would you buy it? Because we're selling it. So it's true. And I've got to look at that. Would I invest my own pocket before we do that to other people?
Yes, love that. One more question around the costing there, Damien. What about the regular costings? What sort of figures are we looking at there? What's the standard, or does it vary so much? What can you tell us there?
Yeah, look in the industry, you've either got a percent of royalties or a flat fee. And to be honest, it's a tough one. It's 6 to 1 to half a dozen on both, because a flat fee can be good for someone that's making a lot of money because they're not having to pay more royalties, but then it's not good for the person that's not, right? So it's a balancing act. The royalties, however, yes, you might be paying more when you're making more, but the thing is, the franchisor is going to help grow your business and drive your business because they're making more as well. So it's a joint partnership. So if you're not winning, we're not winning as a franchisor. So, you know, it is that balancing act. And, you know, people ask me, which do you prefer? And it's a tough one, again, because I like the percentage, because it means it's a partnership. You know, we're going to do this together, because if you're not making, I'm not making. So I do like that. if you've got some savvy person that just knows they're going to blitz it, they've come from the industry and they just know they're going to make a lot of money in their site, of course you want a fixed fee. You know, I want that fix. I don't pay you as much. But, yeah, it's a mixture. So, you know, if you look at it, you know, most boutique sort of franchises will sort of range from that anywhere from 15 to sort of 4,000 a month, depending on, again, how much revenue you're bringing. You know, it can go up, obviously, if you're bringing in more. Big boxes are different because they're on a percent as well, and it's higher revenue. You know, when you're looking at a functional training, maybe doing a, you know, $600,000-$700,000 a year versus a $2 million, $3 million over this side, it's different, but a different structure, I guess. It comes back to, so those ongoing costs, I think the marketing cost needs to be fixed in general, because with marketing, if it's a percentage, and this is what happens, and the person is paying more for marketing, wants more marketing. Mm. Why am I paying more when Jack down the road's doing the same and he's getting the same national brand marketing? So we always suggest a fixed fee because it doesn't matter. The marketing can be spent properly across. Some people don't charge marketing anymore. They incorporate into the franchise fee, which is a good idea, because you have to, from a marketing perspective, you have to spend that money and you can be audited. But yeah, generally marketing, you would want a fixed fee. So you're all paying the same to get the brand and national marketing out there.
Gotcha. Couple questions with that. When you say fixed fee, so let's say there's a franchise and they've got 10 different locations all around Australia. And let's say they're on the percentage model, right? You're saying that no matter how much clients each one of those 10 has, the franchisor puts the same amount of dollars of marketing into each of those locations. Is that in a nutshell what you're saying?
Yeah, the marketing's usually a separate fee. You've got royalties and then marketing.
Oh, gotcha.
The royalties,
okay.
Yeah, royalties are paying for the brand, the service, the strategy, the fitness, the product. And that's generally, as I said, it can be fixed fees. Some out there are still doing fixed fee, but most are doing royalties. And that's just like a 7%, for example. Royalties are just coming out every month, and that's to pay for everything.
What percentage is that, out of curiosity, usual, or an indication?
Most are between that sort of 6 to 8. Percent.
Okay.
You know, that's a good percentage to be. And then marketing can differ depending on the size of the brand. If they charge marketing, it could be something like 500 a month up to 800, again, depending on the product. And that's why I was saying with a marketing fee, you'd like that to be fixed. So, you know, that the marketing is spread across the group. And generally that marketing fee is more for strategy, brand, awareness, all that side of things. Not, I'm going to give you $100 this month to spend on Facebook. It's a brand, it's a national stuff. As a franchisee, you still will spend your cash in-house for local area marketing.
Awesome. Definitely. Awesome. Okay, cool. That makes sense. Well, hey, Damien, I think you've given us some really good tips there. I want to be sensitive of your time. There's just one question I always like to finish up with, and that's around books. So I'm curious, not sure what you're like as a reader, but if someone's watching this and they're like, okay, you know, if it's not a book, it could be like a website or a podcast or a YouTuber or where, if someone's interested in what it is you do and they're like, okay, look, I'm not ready to work with Damien yet, but you know, I want to get my head around some of this. How do I learn more about franchises or exiting or, you know, starting up? What resources could you recommend for them?
Interesting. I'm not a reader, funnily enough. I wish I was at the office now. I'll grab my business partner to answer that question. You know, and it's funny, we're actually building a current portal, which is going to have a whole lot of things for people in the industry, individual owners, individual trainers, where they can go into our portal and download a whole lot of documents from franchising to, you know, what's it called, the Audible stuff. All these things we're going to have on our portal, which is something to watch out for if you're listening to this today. But I think, you know, if you're looking at, you can read any book and I'm, you know, and get told things through a book through a Tony Robbins or a Carol Ray, all these things, and that's all great. My thing is I'd be reading up on more what you want to do and then more research as opposed to reading. So researching the industry, research what's happening. Look at the IHRSA websites, look at all the fitness websites, what's happening in the industry, look at Fitness Australia, look at FitRec, whatever it is, get industry knowledge. Yeah. And as well, for anyone on this, on the listening to this podcast, Fitness Business Sales will be having a new group that we'll be doing through Facebook called our Fitness Owners Club Network. And we're going to have a whole lot of research and stuff on that. It's just a group that you join for free. And that's what we want to do. It's education. So when you talk about books, as you mentioned, it's more education. And probably what I do in my position is I'm across a whole lot of different groups, a whole lot of different areas of the business, whether it's, you know, in the compliance side of the business, or the business sales growth, or it's in the retentions, or it's in the product. I just try to keep up to date with what's going on. I think if you're a trainer or an investor, that is your best education. Find out what's out there, educate yourself through it, through those portals, and join as many groups as possible. You know, there's a lot of knowledgeable people out there that can give you the advice. And I think reading a book is great, but speaking to someone that's actually done it is better.
Yes.
That's been there, you know, and I think that's probably one of the reasons we started the business. And, you know, because I did own a gym back in the day. I had my own. I had my skin in the game. I could have gone bankrupt. I was young. I had my mum's house against it. But I learned because I was in it. And I think if you can reach out to as many industry knowledgeable people, that's the best research to do.
Love it. Yeah, that's such a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. And I'll just share a couple that I found. There's a website. Not sure if you subscribe to it, Damien. It's something around the Australian Leisure Management News or something like that.
Yeah. Nigel Benson. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Nigel. Yeah, I'm going to get him on the podcast in the next couple of weeks. That's great. If you, it's basically what's going on in the news, but specific in the fitness industry. You know, so you want to, because it's not often that the fitness industry will get featured in the news. Bits and pieces will, but it's going to be either really good or really bad. Like all those in between stuff, you can check out the Australian Leisure Management site, which is really good. And the other one that I
We do a lot of our media. We do a lot of our media releases through him, and then Gym Click Media with Eugene. We do a lot. Throughout the industry. You know, there's a lot of people out there that will do those, but Nigel's been around for a long time. I've worked with him for quite a while, and he's built a really good network. And what I like about that website is it's not always, you know, the good news stories and the great, you'll, you know, publish stuff that's not good, that we go, wow, we need to know about that. So it's very real. That's what I like about that one.
100%. And then the other thing I find is LinkedIn. If you can tailor your LinkedIn, I haven't used it properly until recently. I would just add anyone on there. People would add me. I'd accept them. I'm like, yeah, I'm growing my network. This is great. But I'd scroll through my feed and it would just junk, you know, that I didn't care anything about. But since recently I've cleaned it up, and there's ways you can unfollow, you can stay connected to them, but you just say, you know, I don't want to see this person in my feed. So I use, that's what my Facebook is for, my Instagram, you know, that sort of stuff. For LinkedIn, it's just the heavy hitters in the fitness industry. So I can go on there, and I saw there was FitStop had a big deal the other day. They had some collaboration. Yeah, exactly. You know, and the only reason I found that was LinkedIn, you know, and I scroll through LinkedIn and I'm like, oh, so that's what's going on. That's because that's where people post this sort of stuff. You know, if you're in the fitness industry and you want to post something about your business wise, you post it on LinkedIn, you know, so you can
100%,
you know, tailor your LinkedIn. And if you just use those two there, Nigel Benson's Australian Leisure Management, Gym Click Media, I'm going to get Eugene on this as well, and LinkedIn and tailor it. You'll have a really good idea of what's going on in the industry. So thank you for...
It's definitely LinkedIn has probably brought fitness business sales alive, to be honest. You know, I've had my profile for quite some time and just really tailored it. And what I've found, and this is what's, you know, if I look at Fitness Cartel, one of our brands, you know, Nathan, who's the founder, I taught him how to sell memberships back in Genesis 10, 12 years ago. And it's all come from LinkedIn. So what's happened is, people like all the exes are coming out of the woodworks and going, oh, Damo, blah, blah, blah. But it's been through LinkedIn. And what I've done in LinkedIn is exactly what you said, tailored it. We make sure that we're updating every media release, every opening. The stories are good too, chucking the stories up of anything. Like I will have a, you know, infant cyclamidale we opened, bang, it's on a story across all socials. That social network is huge. And people talk as well. If you look at the fitness industry, people will say, oh, you know, for example, you know, I don't know, we're looking to buy, we heard Fire Fitness is coming to Australia. Oh, that was through FBS, and they saw that through us. So it is a big industry, but it's very small. Everyone knows someone that knows someone and someone, and agree, your LinkedIn is crucial to keep that up to date, keep that up to speed, and continually posting on that.
And I'll piggyback off that as well. What I've found with LinkedIn, So I used to be more of a Facebook, Instagram person. And on Facebook, if you post a link, Facebook just punish you. They don't want you off Facebook, you know? So you, it's hard. And Instagram, you can't even post a link anywhere on Instagram.
No.
You know, one in your bio. No. Whereas LinkedIn, I found, favors it. You know, if you post, hey, here's a blog. You know, even I find news as well. What I've personally found is news on LinkedIn. Hey, here's what my business has done. You know, go and check out us featured in this article here or the blog we wrote here. You know, so if you want to, if you want to get your news out there and get people externally, LinkedIn is great. But anyway, I want to be respectful of your time, Damien. That's all I wanted to cover. Is there anything I should have asked you but forgot to, or anything you want to finish us off with?
No, I think probably the only other thing I would mention is if you are looking at your business and, you know, what you're going to do down the track, you currently got a health club or you're a gym owner and you're looking to exit, you know, streamline your processes, you know, look at the opportunities, you know, build your business. If you're getting, you know, some of the people that come to us that are distressed where I just need to sell, I need to sell. Our goal is actually to try and work with you that you don't sell. Our ideal client is we don't sell it, you keep it.
Yeah.
So I just think if you're currently in a business, probably my advice is look at your streamline, look at what's going on, be careful of the marketplace multiple of exits. So what I'm saying is the pricing you're getting quoted. There are a lot of people that are going to a broker and they're just naming a price and you're paying something that's listed for a year. So just be careful and be conscious of the market, especially now with COVID, that, you know, the saleable price of a business is not what it used to be. So don't be tricked. Don't make sure you do your homework, streamline your business and, you know, work on what your plans are. That's probably one of the biggest advice I could give for current club owners.
Love it. Awesome. All right, cool. Well, what I'll do with Damien, I'll put the link to the Fitness Business Sales website in the show notes. I'll also put a link to your LinkedIn in there. So if people want to see what's going on, you know, they can check it out.
Too
on
easy. Stop.
Damien, thank you very much for your time.
All good. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you liked this show, share it with your friends, subscribe on iTunes, and leave us a 5-star review. For show notes and free training on how to grow your fitness business, visit www.fitnesseducationonline.com.au.
Are you a fitness professional looking to provide your clients with personalized meal plans? Well, check out Mealsy, the ultimate solution for creating custom meal plans in just a few simple clicks. With Mealsy, you can say goodbye to countless hours spent on meal planning. Our Australian meal planning web app is designed to save you time and effort so you can focus on what really matters, your clients and their success. Mealsy provides you with a vast library of recipes all created by nutrition professionals. From breakfast to dinner and everything in between, we've got you covered. Whether you want to create a custom meal plan tailored to your client's needs or choose from our selection of ready-made meal plans, Mealsy has the flexibility to accommodate your preferences. So why waste precious time and energy creating meal plans from scratch? Let Mealsy do the heavy lifting for you, or you focus on delivering exceptional fitness services. Join the community of fitness professionals who have revolutionized their business with Mealsy. Visit our website at www.mealsy.com and sign up today. Mealsy, the smarter way to meal plan for fitness professionals.